Welcome back, Business PMO Podcast on Leadership as it relates to Project Management. And we are continuing in our three-part series on problem solving. On two episodes ago, it was problem solving as a way to introduce us to ourselves, mm-hmm. how we deal with problems internally. The second one was, how do we deal with problems and do problem solving when it comes to other people who bring us problems? This week is all about problems introducing us to opportunities. So finding the opportunity in the fire. We're going to read this one again in case you haven't seen us in the last two podcasts. Because again, it's so important, not just for leadership, but also for project management. Even beyond, it seems. And this comes from the book, The Road Less Traveled, by M. Scott Peck. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Because once it's been accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters. All right, so once you wrap your head around that, we've repeated it for three episodes now, it must have some kind of importance. So David Helps is back with us again. David Helps, if you haven't watched any of our other podcasts, David Helps is the Chief of Staff for the Project Management Office at South Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Or as we like to say, he's the COS for the PMO at SCDHHS. So thank you again, David, for coming back and walking through this book. The book is Developing the Leader Within You 2.0 by John C. Maxwell. Wonderful book. Get it, read it, all that. Mm-hmm. We are walking through it just to see how we can relate these leadership lessons to the art and the science of project management, primarily the art of project mm-hmm. management.
Yes.
Ready to go?
Ready.
Let's roll. All right. So part three, how problems help us to learn more about opportunities. So we start off with a quote from Albert Einstein, which says, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. And this is about shifting your mindset in the following path. You start with, is there an answer? And then you shift your mindset to say, instead of, is there an answer? Mm-hmm. You say, there is an answer. It's not a question, it's a statement. Two, there is a good answer. Mm-hmm. So it's not always a garbage sandwich, and I'm going to say garbage sandwich because I want kids to be able to watch this. So it's not always a garbage sandwich. You have to look at it and sometimes look at that garbage sandwich and say, there's a good solution to this garbage sandwich. I don't know what that is at this moment, but I know that answer is there and I'm going to work towards it. So the best leaders are the best problem solvers. Mm-hmm. And we want to relate this to the project management role. Mm-hmm. One, do you agree that the best leaders are also the best problem solvers?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Why?
I do. I think that you, in order to be a good leader, and when I say that, when I say that they are the best problem solvers, I'm not saying that they always have to have the answer. Right?
Good point.
They can be the best problem solvers by knowing who to have in the room to have the conversation to actually put together a really solid solution, right?
Yes.
So when I say yes, I agree. I agree on different aspects, right? So yes, I think some of the best leaders are going to be able to look at problems and figure out how to solve them themselves. Yeah. But the best leaders are also the leaders who know when they look at a problem that this is something that is bigger and that they need to find the right people to bring to the table and ask the right questions, which is another book of his, mm-hmm. Great Leaders Ask, Good Leaders Ask yep. Great Questions,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So they are great leaders because they know where their limits are and they know who to bring to the table that have limits past them mm-hmm. that then can bring you to a good solution to a problem.
That is a great point, because that's going to actually, what you just said is going to set the tone for everything we just said about asking questions.
Yeah.
And realizing it's okay if you don't have the answers. That doesn't make you the best problem solver. The best problem solver is the one who goes, here's the problem. I'm going to now find somebody who can help me fix this.
Yes.
So very, very, very good. And so John also relates kind of one of these quotes. This, I guess this would be like Mr. Maxwell's version of a meme. And it's a quote from, you know, J.P. Morgan, who I think everybody has at least heard the name J.P. Morgan when it comes to money. And so J.P. Morgan is quoted as saying, and I'm going to read from here, no problem can be solved until it's reduced to some simple form. The changing of a big difficulty, a problem, into something specific and concrete is the very essence of thinking about problem solving. So how do you think we do this as project managers? When we get a problem, and it just seems like there's just this huge problem, how do you walk your team through breaking that problem down into solvable chunks?
You've got to learn as a leader how to reverse engineer things. Mm-hmm. You really do. And there's plenty of books on this, on reverse engineering problems. And you've got to be able to take that problem, that issue that you're looking at, and you've got to be able to pull it apart to see what is actively working towards or against all the pieces in that problem. And then you've got to be able to pull those things out, look at those, and basically reverse engineer to get to some of the root causes and some of the root issues that are involved. So you've got to be able to, as Morgan said, break that out into smaller pieces, basically reverse engineer it.
Yeah.
Pull it all apart, look at all the pieces and parts, and then find the issues and then fix those, and then bring that back together and see if that has not solved the problem.
I could not agree more. So I'm going to relate this in project management terms to combining risk management with a work breakdown structure.
Yeah.
I was teaching this the last BPMO masterclass for project managers, and I was speaking with somebody who handles the facilities over at the Columbia Metropolitan Airport. When I say facilities, I'll mean like janitorial, I mean like the building
the
itself.
Building. Yeah.
And I asked them, what kind of project do you have? And they were going to add a couple security lines. You'll be happy to know, like, this is coming. If you're ever going to come to Columbia Metropolitan Airport, security lines should go faster because they're going to add a couple security lanes. Now, I don't know nothing about this at all.
Yeah.
So I started asking him questions. He didn't even really realize I was asking him questions. And then I just regurgitated it using critical thinking.
Yes.
And basically said, okay, so what you're telling me is for the task to this, if we were to do a work breakdown structure, we're going to need more floor space, which probably means we're going to have to expand that hallway.
Yes.
If we're going to expand that hallway, I'm probably going to need to bring in somebody from electrical, somebody who does sheetrock, somebody who does painting.
Yep.
I'm probably going to need to pull up some architectural plans. I'm probably going to have to go and get those architectural plans, you know, approved.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine you can't just change an airport terminal without somebody approving, right? You can't just walk in there and do it. And although I had never done anything like that, I used his subject matter expertise to break that down. And what was so funny is in the end, he's like, have you done this job before? I'm like, no, I just regurgitated everything you said.
Yep.
All I did was, like you say, ask questions.
Ask questions.
So when we have this problem, we can use risk management as a way to give it its probability and impact score, and then use work breakdown structures and reverse engineering. I love that term. To break it into smaller chunks.
Yeah.
So if we do this,
you actually can get a lot of the what I call the meat of your work breakdown structure by doing the reverse engineering steps.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have all those conversations. Like you said, you had all those conversations with them, and just talking through it fed a lot of meat into that WBS.
Yeah. And what better tools to start with, right? So a risk is really a problem, or a problem is a risk.
Yeah.
Or maybe a problem is an issue. You know, yeah. It depends if it's been triggered or not.
I mean, really, it's really any uncertainty, right?
Yeah.
It's really any uncertainty, which most uncertainties are issues and can eventually become problematic. So, you know, you got to look at it from those perspectives and then look at what have we learned about risk management over the last couple of decades through project management lenses that have helped us build new tools for then addressing those through strategies, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this next series is going to be to help people understand what are some questions you can ask, because you said it in the beginning.
Yeah.
You have to ask questions.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it in the, says somebody who doesn't have as much experience as you, I'm going to say it like this. It's okay to be the idiot in the room. If you're a project manager, you don't have to be that know-it-all. If in fact, and I've done this before, and I've done this because I've seen other leaders way better than me do it, and I thought that's a good practice. If you have a problem that you're working on with your team, and you assemble a meeting, and you walk into that room, and you are the smartest person in the room, cancel the meeting. Just cancel it. You don't have the right people in the room.
Exactly.
You want to be the dumbest one coming in the room, and the way you display that ignorance is by asking all these questions. And it's okay, because the way people usually are is they're more than happy to point out how big of an idiot you are by giving you the answers.
Oh, yes.
You know, if I walk in and I say something just absolutely ridiculous to a network engineer, like he says, fiber, we're going to put fiber in there. I'm like, fiber? Like what? Like just pull the sweater apart? Or what's fiber? What does that mean? You know, am I getting blankets? Am I what? And they're like, no, you idiot. You got to bang, 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 bang. And it's like, oh, really? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to
take these notes. You know? and you learn from it. So it's okay to be the idiot in the room.
Uh-huh.
As the leader, you don't have to have all the answers.
Correct.
And so here's some questions that John Maxwell puts out there. And we'll see what you think. Yeah. And then what other questions do you think are good to ask? So one of them is, and he kind of breaks this, I'll go through them really quick here. Question, the and let me preface it like this. These questions are framework questions.
Yes.
If you ask these exact questions, you really are going to sound like an idiot. No offense, Mr. Maxwell. But this is a framework, right?
Yeah,
so if you walk into a room and you say, who knows the most about the problem? That doesn't make any sense. You got to relate these questions and treat them as a framework. Relate them to the problem itself. But if you want to know, or you want to get help on how to get information about it, he says, ask the question, basically, who knows the most about the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what I need to know?
Yes.
And this is to draw out the experienced staff.
Yep.
The other question is, who wants to tackle this problem? Now, this is something I've said to anybody I've ever hired, anybody I've ever coached, is anytime you put somebody on your team, always go with desire over talent. I can teach talent. I can send somebody to a class for talent.
Yep.
But if they don't have any desire to do the job, you're wasting your time. It doesn't matter how smart they are. They could put a robot on Pluto that speaks back to you in real time. But if they don't want to do it, they're going to mess up. Yep. They're going to not bring your team down. So asking that question, who wants to tackle the problem, will help you find somebody who has a desire to do it. Who needs buy-in and how long it'll take? The way I ask it is this bigger than a bread box?
Yes.
You know, do I need to, am I having to go to the president of the company? Is that the person's buy-in? And probably the most important question I think of this list is, from a project management point of view, have we earned enough trust to make the needed changes?
Yep.
As you see this all the time, we make suggestions to leadership and have you ever been in this situation? You have the best answer. You have the right answer.
Yes.
You're pouring your heart out, data, information. You're trying to convince a director. Director's like, I don't know. And then in walks the golden star child.
Yep.
And the person says, you know, we really need to do what this person's saying. And he goes, okay.
Yes.
Then that is driving. I haven't earned enough trust with that leader to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I need to find somebody who does have enough trust chips.
Yep.
So I think this is one of the most important questions that could be asked.
Yes.
Because you're going to have to socialize this. You're going to have to put it out there. All right. So those are, that's a John Maxwell list.
Yes.
In 3 minutes or less. One, I guess, a two-part question here.
Yeah.
So first part of the question is, what do you think of the framework? Like, do you see any areas of improvement? And then the second part of the question is, what are some other questions specific to project management that you would ask when trying to find that opportunity within a problem?
So I think that you've got to, I think the framework's solid. I think this, these are the base questions, right? All of your questions, as you said before, these are the base questions. Your questions should be off of this.
Yeah.
So your questions should correlate to one of these five questions in some way, shape, or form, reworded, right? Because, I mean, while you want to ask some stupid questions to get people talking, you don't want to ask certain types of stupid questions.
Right.
But I think what you have to do here is you have to, you have to, as we've talked about before, get the right people in the room and ask the right level of questions to get the conversation started in order to get the, in order to get all the opportunities identified with what you're working on. And what I mean by that is don't just have one engineer in there. Mm. Have three engineers in there that are good.
Each other, yeah.
And that can talk to, and sometimes I put three engineers in there that I know don't share the same philosophy. And I do that specifically because I know I'm going to ask a question that's going to get them in a debate.
You just like seeing people argue.
Well, I try to control the argument. I try to control the argument. That's the thing is asking the right questions with the right people in there to open up the opportunity conversation. So when those three start having that conversation and that debate on best routes to take, the solution's gonna probably come out of some combination of all three perspectives.
I think that's great.
Right.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Yep.
From David Helps himself. All right. So that's going to wrap it up. So again, just walking through this, you know, we did our 3 weeks where, you know, we focused on problems from the point of view of of introducing and learning ourselves, introducing other people, where we can have problems with other people and how to do that, and where we can find this week opportunities. So hopefully that was helpful to everybody. It was 3 episodes to cover such a small part of the book. But again, as it relates to project management, problem solving is so much of what we do.
Huge.
If you are a hiring manager out there, please listen to me. Stop asking interview questions about how well do you know Microsoft Project, or how well do you know Jira, or how well do you know Waterfall versus Agile? You know, I mean, these are technical things. They're good to know, and it's all that. But if you want a good project manager, find the leader. Find the one who wants to solve problems, the one who's good at solving problems without leaving a path of dead bodies in the way.
Yes.
You find that leader. If they are lacking in technical skills for project management, send them to the BPMO masterclass. All right, so we'll wrap up that way. And next week or next episode, we're going to talk about the quickest way to gain leadership through solving problems. All right, we'll see y'all.